We continue now with Maseches Beitza Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara begins on the second line from the top of the page by commenting on the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught Besoch HaKein Umatza Lefnei HaKein Asurin, that if a person designates birds before Yontif and they were Besoch HaKein, they were inside the pigeonhole, and then on Yontif he finds doves Lefnei HaKein before the pigeonhole, so then Asurin they are going to be prohibited. So says the Gemara, Lema Mesayei Leil Rab Chanina. Maybe we should say that this teaching in the Mishnah supports the position of Rabbi Chanina. The Rabbi Chanina taught, Rov Akarov, Halech Achar HaRov. That whenever we have a conflict between that which is Rov, meaning something which is based on the principle of Rov, which tells us that when we have a suffix as to what the status, the designation of something is, we would look at it within the context of Rov, that which is in the majority. On the other hand, sometimes we have something which is called karov. We look at its proximity to other things and then try to determine what, in fact, is the status of this. So Chanina taught that when we have a conflict between rov and karov, halech achar harov, we follow the majority. So from this particular case, it seems that Rav Chanina would say that since the birds that are being discovered on Yom Tov were not in the place that they were the day before, so on the one hand, we could say that they are coming from the closest possible alternative, which would mean Besoch HaKein. On the other hand, they could be coming Me'alma. They'd be coming from anywhere else in the world. So Rabbi Chanina would teach Rov Akarov, when we could look in the direction of Rov Akarov, Halech Achar Rov, we follow the Rov. So the Mishnah, which says Besoch HaKein, Amotza Lefnei HaKein Asurin, would seem to follow the position of Rabbi Chanina, who teaches that we do not follow Karov over here, rather we follow Rov. So says the Gemara, no, Amar Abaye Badaf. The Mishnah is referring to a place where the dovecote had a daf, a platform, a beam that was right in front of it, and the birds would constantly come from elsewhere and roost on top of this daf. And so therefore, even if what one can generally assume that in a situation like this, we would follow Karov, that we would say, in all likelihood, the birds that are being discovered on Yom Tov were the ones that were originally designated Besoch HaKein, but over here, since there is a daf which essentially attracts birds from elsewhere, and many birds come because of this particular daf, so therefore we have to rule a chumra and say that it's very possible that these birds came from elsewhere. They are therefore asurin because they are going to be muksa. Then the Gemara presents another answer, another rejection of this suggestion that the Gemara is following, the Mishnah is following the position of Chanina. Rav Amar b'shnei kinen zula l'mal mizuas kinen. He says we are talking about two kinen, two pigeonholes, one above the other. Rashi says halo itzrich lashminon el b'shnei kinen zula l'mal mizu. The Mishnah is talking about a case where we have two pigeonholes, one on top of the other, u'b'shneim gozlos, and both of them have birds. V'zimen es shebezu, v'lo zimen es shebezu. On an erev Yom Tov, he designated the birds that were in one cane and not the other. Ulamacha, the next day, ba v'lo matzah besoch hakein shezimon ela lefanav. He didn't find anything inside of the pigeonhole in which he designated, but he did find birds in front of it. Uba'oso shelo zimen, and in front and inside the one that he did not designate, lo matzah lo lefanav lo leselcho. He didn't find any birds. Hilko chasiri. Therefore, the Mishnah rules that the birds are going to be usher. V'lo mishum chshasha diyuna di alma. Not because we're concerned that maybe what these birds came from elsewhere. Ela miachash lamatzim b'mekoman. But since we are not finding birds in the place in which they were designated at all. V'o shebekein ha'acher ha'muksa lamatzim klum. And furthermore, in the adjacent pigeonhole, in which there were birds yesterday, now there's nothing. Yesh lachush shema elu shematza lefnei hakein amuchan lo misachu yatso ela misoch hamuktza. We're concerned that the birds that we find right now are not the birds that came from the designated cane before Yom Tov, but rather from the one that was adjacent, from which there were no birds that were designated. So the Gemara suggests, both according to Baye and according to Rava, it is not necessary to conclude that our Mishnah is a siyua, support for the position of Rabbi Chanina, who teaches Rov Akarov, Halech Achar HaRov. And the Gemara goes on, Rava explains his position. And it's not necessary for the Mishnah to teach in a case where he was Zimain, he designated birds in the lower cave, in the lower pigeonhole. Velo Zimain ba'elyona, and an Erev Yom Tov, if he did not designate those that were in the upper pigeonhole. And then Umatzu b'tachtona, velo matzu b'elyona. And then he found birds in the tachtona, meaning on the ledge in front of the Tachtona, and he didn't find anything in the Alyona de Asirin, because then we assume that what? The birds that were in the pigeonhole that he designated left. And we assume that the doves from the pigeonhole that he was not zimein, the ones that were muksa, lowered themselves to the ledge of the lower pigeonhole. Ella, rather, the Mishnah is teaching the following case. Afilu zimin be'elyona v'lo zimin b'tachtona. Even if he designated the ones in the upper pigeonhole, and he did not designate the ones in the lower one, uba umatzu be'elyona, and he found that there were birds in front of the elyona v'lo matzu b'tachtona, he didn't find anything at the tachtona, hanach nami asiri. The chiddush in the Mishnah is that even in this case, they are going to prohibit it. I'm reading because we say, hanach azli yama, the ones that were in the designated upper pigeonhole left, v'hanach sruchei sorech usliku, and the ones that were in the lower pigeonhole, in other words, the ones that were muksa, they went and they climbed their way up to the upper pigeonhole. So we can't assume that, if we don't have any evidence otherwise, that we assume that birds only would fall down. No, that we perhaps choshesh that even the birds from the lower pigeonhole that were not separated from before Yom, designated before Yomtiv, would have climbed their way up. The Gemara now continues and comments on the last line in the Mishnah. Mishnah concluded with the words, in Ein Shom Elehein Harei L'Mutarin, that if the only birds that are found within the proximity of this cane are those that were there beforehand, so then Harei L'Mutarin, so then they are going to be permitted. In other words, we assume that these are the birds that he designated before Yomtiv. They moved. Beforehand, they were inside the cane, and now they're on the ledge, but we assume that they are the same ones. So says the Gemara, Hechidami, what are the cases over here? What's the case over here? Ileima b'furachin. If the Mishnah is talking about a case which of birds that are able to fly, so ikalame mahanach azaliyama, so why is it impossible to say that what? That the birds that were designated yesterday left, they flew away, and now these are other ones. Sometimes why do we assume that just because I designated two flying birds yesterday, and now I come back and I find two other flying birds close by but not in the same place, that it's the same birds? After all, it's certainly possible to say that those flew away, and these are other ones. Elo says, the Gemara, bimedadin, must mean that the Mishnah is talking about cases of birds that can only jump around, they can only hop from one place to the next, but they're not yet mature enough to be able to fly. But even this, says the Gemara, is not so simple, because the Ika came to Sol Chamishim Amma, if there's another cane, if there's another pigeonhole within 50 Amos, so then we say, Aduye Yadadu. Then it is possible that what? The birds could go, could jump around, could hop from one pigeonhole to the other, because 50 Amos is within the range that birds would typically hop from one place to another. Vidaleki came to Sol Chamishim Amma, and if there is no cane to Sol Chamishim Amma, Pshita D'Mutarin. So then it's obviously that the birds are mutter because these are not flying birds, and there's no way that they could come, have hopped from another place because there's no cane within 50 amos. So the Mishnah wouldn't have to teach us that. Because any bird which hops around from one place to another, in other words, it's not yet developmentally able to fly, so it's not going to hop more than 50 amos from its nest. So says the Gemara, here's what the Mishnah is teaching. La'olam, really we're talking about the Ika Kain B'Sol Chamishim Amma. There is in fact a Kain within 50 Amos. Ukigon the Kaima B'Keren Zavis. However, the Kain is located B'Keren Zavis, meaning on the side of a corner of a building. So it's not possible for the birds to see one Kain to the other. Ma'u Dehe Tema, perhaps he would have said, Aduya Dadi, that perhaps the birds hop from one place to another, because after all it's within 50 Amos. And birds are able to go ahead and jump within that distance. Kamash Malan comes along the Mishnah and teaches, no. Kol heicha de medade v'hoder chazel kine medade. That as long as a bird can hop around, and when it turns around, it could still see its own cane, its own pigeonhole, so then it will continue to jump around. V'lo, lo medade. However, it can no longer see its pigeonhole, so it's not going to continue to hop. And so therefore, since the pigeonhole cannot be seen from the other, even though it's true it's within 50 amos, we're not concerned that the dove that are found on Yom Tov come from another pigeonhole, and that's why the Mishnah says in this particular case, in Ein Shama Lehein Harei L'Mutarin, that if there are no other birds around, so then these must be the ones that were designated yesterday, because they're not able to fly, so they didn't come from anywhere else. And even though there is a cane that's within 50 amos, but since it's Bekeren Zavis, it's on the other side of the corner, we assume that the birds would not have made their way from elsewhere over here. Okay, the next Mishnah continues. We are now on the sixth or seventh wide line on Yud Aleph and Aleph. The Mishnah now continues talking about more halachos that pertain to Shabbos and Yom Tov. Beshama Yomrim, ein not lenes eli lakatsi belov basar. The Gemara previously had cited this Mishnah. Beshama teach that one may not take an eli. An eli, we explain, means a pestle, a board, like a chopping block of sorts, in order to cut meat upon it, to chop meat. The Beisila Matir and Beisila say that this is permissible. So Rashi explains over here that this eli, according to Beshama, is what's called a kalisha malach toliyaser. It is a utensil which is primarily used for something which is usur. Because normally this eli is used to grind grains, to chop up grains. That's something which is definitely permitted, prohibited on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And so therefore, it is prohibited to use it, even in this case, for a permissible purpose. Because it is muktzah, what's called a klishim lach toliyaser. Basil matirin, basil on the other hand say it's mutter, because this is what's called using a klishim lach toliyaser litzoruch gufo. You're taking something which is primarily used in most situations for a forbidden purpose. However, in this case, it's permissible to go ahead and chop up meat on Yom Tov. And so therefore, one can go ahead and to use the board for this purpose. Beshame Yomer, Beshame says, Ein nos nines or lefnei adarsin. A person cannot take animal hide and place it in a place where it is going to be trampled upon. He does this because it would be beneficial, because people who step on it will assist in the tanning process. Veloyag b'yenu olam keni yeshimo kazayis basar. Not only that, Beshame says, you may not even pick it up unless it has at least a kazayis of basar. Beshame is concerned that it is something which is muksa. If there's a kazayis of basar, so then for the meat alone, it is something which could be handled or something which could be moved. But otherwise, there's no purpose, it has nothing you could do with it on Yom Tov. Beisila matirin, Beisila say no, that is permissible to do so. So we had discussed this briefly within the context of the last sugya on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, and now the Gemara is going to revisit the discussions that we had previously. So the Gemara begins over here, Tana, it was taught in a brayso of a shavin, she'im kisei v'lov basar, she'asa l'taltzol. That both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that if one had already chopped meat upon this eli, this pestle, asa l'taltzol, he may not move it afterwards. Now, if you took a look once again at the Mishnah, Beis Shammai said that you're never permitted to move it, you're not permitted to go ahead and chop meat upon it. Well, Beis Hillel say, you are. However, the brayso over here teaches that once it's been done already, once it's been used for this purpose, it can no longer be moved. So why can't it be moved? So again, going back to what we said beforehand, this is what's called a kli shem lach toliyaser, a kli, a utensil that is used primarily for something which is forbidden. So if I'm using it, litzarach gufo, if I'm using it for permissible purpose, so according to Peis Hillel, I'm permitted to move it. However, once it's been used already, I'm not permitted to just move it around. Let's say to put it in a place where it'll be safer. I want to put it back where it goes in the proper drawer. I'm not permitted to do so because now there's no longer a justification to move it. It is still considered, it is always considered, what's called a klishim lach toliyaser, which means fundamentally it does have a status of muksa. It's just that this particular type of muksa, it is permissible to move it, litzarach gufo. There are other exceptions, litzarach makomo as well. But in this case, once I've already used it, there's no justification, even according to Beis Hillel, to move it any longer. Continues the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Machlokas be'eli. The Machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is only talking about an eli, which is used primarily for crushing grains. Aval b'tavara garme divri akol mutar. However, when it comes to a board that is used by butchers, primarily, if not exclusively, for chopping meat, so everybody agrees that it is permissible to use such a utensil for chopping meat. So says the Gemara, Pshita. Obviously, what should be the problem? After all, Eli Tanan. It says in the Mishnah, Eli. In other words, Beis Shammai do not issue a blanket iser that's saying you can't chop wood. You can't chop meat on anything over Yom Tov. They are talking specifically over here about an Eli. So why is it that Abaye have to say the Machlokas is only be'eli, but when it comes to a Tavara Garmi, when it comes to a butcher's board, it's permissible? This should be obvious that it's only talking about an Eli, because that's the case that's mentioned in the Mishnah. So it says the Gemara, no, Maldetein, perhaps you would have thought, Huadin dafilu tavara garmi nami, that perhaps Beis Shammai would even prohibit using a butcher's board. For high, the Ketani Eli, and the reason why the Mishnah mentions specifically an Eli, a pestle, was a diacha kochen de Beis Hillel, in order to demonstrate the extent to which Beis Hillel is Bekel, then he goes as far as to say, dafilu davashem lachto li isser nami shari, that you're even permitted to take something which its primary function is one which is forbidden, a pestle which is primarily used for crushing grain. So come along Beis Hillel and say, even this is permissible. However, Beis Shammai's chumrah, that it says you can't use such a utensil for chopping meat, it's not only an Eli, it would apply even to a Tavara Gamri. Kamash Malon comes along a bay and says no. The Beis Shammai would in fact permit to use a Tavara Gamri, a butcher's board, and the only Yisr is to use an Eli. The Gemara continues with another explanation as to why, according to Abaye, he tells us the machlokas is be'eli, but when it comes to a tavara gamri, divi akol mutter. Amar Abaye, ikadiyami, Amar Abaye, they're those that say, Abaye teaches, lo nitzvach el afilu tavara gamri chadati. It's required that the Mishnah has to teach us that even when it comes to a new butcher's board, one that has never been used before, it is also permissible. Ma'adotem, perhaps he would have thought, mimlach v'lo tavar Allah. Perhaps he would have thought that you cannot go ahead and move such a board because one, after moving it, may change his mind and say, you know what, I'm not going to use it after all. I'm not going to chop meat on it. In which case, he will have engaged in a tirchel of shalol tzarech. He's going to be moving things for no need on Yavdif. Kamash Malon comes along the bayi and says, no, that such a board is permissible for use, even according to Beis Shammai. So the Gemara now questions Abaye's understanding of Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai luchai shilim luchai? Is it true, as Abaye suggests, that according to Beis Shammai, we're not concerned that a person will change his mind? Atani, we learn in Abaye, so Beis Shammai yomrim, ein molichin tabach v'sakin etzel behema. On Yom Tov, you're not permitted to go ahead and take a shochet and a knife to a behema. What does it mean, take a shochet? It doesn't mean literally take a shochet. It's saying the tabach and the knife. The chiddush over here is the knife. You're not permitted to go ahead and take a knife to a behema on Yom Tov. Below behema, it's a tabach besakin. Not only that, you cannot take the animal to the tabach, to the shochet, and to the knife. Beis Hillel say you can. Beis Shammai Yomrim, the Gebraisa continues with a similar discussion. Beis Shammai says, in molichin tavlin umadoch etzem adocha. You cannot go ahead and take spices and a pestle to a mortar on Yom Tov. Below medoch etzel tavlin umadoch. And not only that, you cannot take the mortar to the spices in the pestle. Beis Hillel omrim, malichin zeitzazeh. Beis Hillel says you can. Now what is the reason for Beis Shammai's prohibition in both cases? Presumably, Beis Shammai says what he does because he's concerned that you may change your mind afterwards. After going ahead and bringing the knife to the animal to the knife, or after taking the spices and the pestle to the mortar, or taking the mortar and the spices to the pestle, you're going to change your mind, in which case you will have engaged in a tircha shalol tzarech on Yom Tov. Now this would seem to go against what Abaye is teaching, that we're not concerned that a person is going to change his mind, and therefore we permit one to go ahead and to move these items on Yom Tov, even though it's possible he may change his mind. So it says the Gemara, Hachi Hashi, how could you possibly compare these cases? Bishlama behema asilim luchi. It certainly meant sense in the case of the animal, why Beis Shammai would be concerned that a person may change his mind, the Omar, because he may say, Nizhva kai behema kuchusha, you know, this animal is pretty lean. So maybe I should leave it. Umaisin behema achrisi deshamne mine. And what I'll do is I'll go ahead and I'll take another one, which is fatter, one that will provide a much better meat for Yom Tov. And also makes sense that when dealing with a dish in which a person is preparing food for Yom Tov, the case of the spices, he may also change his mind. Amar, because he may say, you know what? I leave this dish because it requires spices. And I'll take a different one which doesn't require spices. In other words, why do I have to go ahead and pashka right now with spices? I'll just bring it back and I'll deal with a more simple recipe. So, what are you going to say over here? In the case of the butcher's board, why would a person change his mind? Mimlach v'lo tovar. He's going to change his mind. He's going to not chop meat. Came in the shachta l'sfira kaima. Once he shachts the animal, what else is he going to do with it? That's the whole, there's nothing else to do. The reason he shachted the animal is so he could have meat so he could eat on Yom Tov. So obviously he's going to go ahead and chop the meat. And so therefore, in this case, even Beis Shammai says that there's no real basis to go ahead and to say that he may change his mind and not use the butcher's board. And that's why Beis Shammai says, according to Baye, that the machlokas is be'eli. The whole machlokas is only talking about a kli shemalachto liyisr, a utensil that is used primarily for chopping grains, for grinding grains. And that's when Beis Shammai says the whole machlokas is be'eli. And so therefore, even in this case, Beis Shammai agree that there's no reason whatsoever to say that he might change his mind and decide not to use the butcher's board. And that would explain, according to Baye, that would explain the reason for the difference between these cases.